Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again. Would you all say again? Those things which you do hear and see, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I'd like to take those words, go and show John again. And I'd like to speak on the subject tonight, the fresh confirmation of the simple truth. You may be seated. I would like to express my thanks to Brother Urshan for the presentation of the Quest program. I have never understood it like I do tonight. I think that at least a part of what he's trying to accomplish is to help me and all of us to have a personal revival in our own hearts and to get in spiritual shape. And I appreciate that, don't you? I appreciate Brother Urshan. I'm very thankful for his leadership and the sacrifice that he makes to carry the burden of this great United Pentecostal Church. And I do not want to sin against the Lord by failing to pray for him. It's a privilege to be here tonight. I never dreamed in 1973 that we would ever come to Salt Lake again. I expected the Lord to come before that situation or circumstance would ever come around. Much less did I ever think that I would speak in this auditorium. But here we are in 1979, and I still don't feel like we'll ever get back here again. Now we might. No man knows the day nor the hour. We might come back again, and we occupy until he comes. But it's very possible that there are people in this audience tonight that will never, ever again hear a message in a Pentecostal service. And so tonight we direct our remarks to you and to all of us. I want to thank whoever it was who suggested my name. It's a great honor to be here. I honor which I sincerely feel that I do not deserve. Excuse me. But I am happy to have a part in this great conference. This is, to my way of thinking, the greatest conference that we have attended in many, many years. Praise the Lord. Let's all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In the scripture that we read tonight, we see a great man of God, John the Baptist, in the twilight hours of his life, sending to Jesus for fresh confirmation of a truth which had been presented to him before. Sent to disciples, he was in Machaerus prison, and the only thing that kept him from losing his life was that Herod was intimidated by the Jews. So John's life was hanging by a thread. I do not believe that he was a doubter. I believe that he was, as Jesus said, the greatest prophet born of woman. He was approximately the same age as our outgoing Pentecostal Conquerors president, Dan Rigdon, just a young man. He was about 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus began his ministry at about 30 years, and this was not too long after the beginning of Jesus' ministry when John went through this spiritual trauma that caused him to send to Jesus and ask these words, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Art thou he? He wanted his faith
to be strengthened. He wanted reaffirmation, reconfirmation of what had been a truth to him. I don't know how a man would feel facing death in prison, but John had put all of his eggs in one basket, and he wanted definitely to know that it was the right basket. What he needed was a faith to die by. He was asking, am I in the right way? Have I done the right thing? Have I followed the right one? And he was in the twilight time of his ministry. We are in the twilight time of the world. And our generation has been rocked as no other generation on the face of the earth has, by terrible things. Our young people ask questions. They have been rocked by higher criticism, which came as a result of godless philosophies that were developed in this world about 100 years ago, so that the social science classes in our high schools and colleges teach humanism instead of following God. A criticism which teaches that the Bible is not the Word of God, that the Old Testament was a collection of Jewish fables, that Moses wasn't a real individual. He was somewhat like Uncle Sam, a person that just developed in the minds of the Jewish race, that the Old Testament was not written as it is purported to be written, but that it was a collection of materials that were put together approximately 600 B.C. The New Testament is not what it purports to be, but is rather the story of a certain teacher of righteousness that about 200 years after he lived was embellished by miracle stories. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not agree. I had a young man come to my home, a fine young man, Pentecostal young man, taking a religious philosophy course at a university. Middle of the night, knocked on the door and brought books and set them on the dining room table. Said, can we sit here and talk? And then he began to show me how they had shown him in his religion class that the Gospels do not agree and that they disagree and they are not harmonized and it's impossible to harmonize them. And the Gospels really were not written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but instead were based upon some earlier source work. And the Old Testament was a braiding together of strains of material, some of it what they call Yahwistic, some of it Elohistic, and so on. Was not really the Bible. And he was shaken, and he was saying to me, in effect, Brother Saban, is this really the truth, this Jesus name Pentecostal way, or should I begin to explore for another? Our generation has been rocked by moral assault, such as no other generation has been rocked. The music of our day is absolutely putrid in its message, and I believe myself in some of its rhythms. And the young people are wondering what life is really all about. Is virtue really something that I ought to aspire to, or should we just be like those about us? We have been rocked by a deluge of false ideas. Moody Magazine, just a couple of months ago, printed an article which I quoted from at the Memphis conference that said within the last 10 years, 2,000 cults have arisen in the United States based on Eastern mysticism with over 5 million adherents. These people derelict from a Christianity which has lost its direction and lost its power. That's 5 million. That's 10 times at least the amount of the entire United Pentecostal Church and more than the Latter-day Saint Church. 5 million overcome by the false ideas of Eastern mysticism that should have been easily overthrown by even a nominal Christianity. And some of our young people are also confused by the defection of ministering brethren, and by dissent, and by other things which present to them a picture that is somewhat less than perfect. They want a faith to die by. They want a faith to believe in, praise the Lord. They want a faith that if they were facing the executioner's axe, they would say, "This is what I believe, praise the Lord. This is what I stand for." That's what John looked for. I want you to notice the evidences that John's doubt was hurled against. First of all, if you read in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, you'll find that John's birth was announced miraculously. One of the few persons in the Bible that had such a privilege. An angel came by the altar of incense to his father. The angel said, "I am Gabriel from the presence of God. Zacharias, your prayers are heard. Your wife is going to have a son. He is going to be a great prophet. They're going to talk about it all around Judea. He is going to prepare the way of the Lord. Zacharias, his name is going to be John." Notice that John was supernaturally named by the angel. His birth announced by Gabriel, the man who came, the angel who came from the very presence of God. Praise the Lord. Zacharias went home and Elizabeth conceived a son. When she was in the sixth month of her pregnancy, the same angel appeared unto her cousin, Mary, in Galilee, and told her that she was highly favored, and that she was also going to have a son. The same angel said, "Mary, your son's name is going to be Jesus," which means Jehovah the Savior. He's going to save his people from their sins. And he said other things. He said, "Of his kingdom there shall be no end." He's going to be the Son of the Highest. This birth is going to be miraculous. The power of the Highest is going to come upon you, Mary. And that which is conceived in you is going to be of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in the same chapter of Luke that Mary journeyed into Judea. And there with her cousin Elizabeth, they shared the fellowship of what had been made known to each of them. Each of them were going to have a son supernaturally conceived. One because Elizabeth was stricken in years. The other because Mary was an absolute virgin. Each of them had a son, was going to have a son that was supernaturally named. One to be named John, the other to be named Jesus. One was to prepare the way of the Lord. The other was to be the Son of the Highest. Elizabeth understood what Mary told her. And she said, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come unto me?" All this was discussed. They stayed together for 3 months, from the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy until the ninth month. We might well assume that Mary was there when John was born. We do not need to think that there was no communication between these two women about these supernatural things that took place. Then John grew up. As he grew up, he must have heard something about his cousin who startled the doctors in the temple at the age of 12 years by answering their questions. He must have heard something about that. He must have known something about the circumstances of his own birth. I imagine Zacharias told him, "I was dumb. I couldn't speak." And then finally, when the time came to name you, you were circumcised and named on the eighth day. I said the first words, "His name is John." And then my speech returned to me. Yeah, you had a cousin also that was born in Bethlehem of Judea. When he was born, why, the angels sang on the hillsides, surprising the shepherds that watched their flocks by night. Wise men came from the east. They had to go down to Egypt, being warned of God. An angel spoke to Joseph and Mary, and they got out of Judea in order to escape the wrath of Herod. All these miraculous things must have somehow been conveyed to this man, John. Praise the Lord. Not only that, the Bible tells us that John was miraculously commissioned to baptize. He was a man that was sent from God to bear witness of the light. He had one simple message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He that cometh after me is mightier than I. The latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That was the simple message of John. And as he was baptizing, the Bible says in Luke that he baptized all Judea. Pharisees, publicans, soldiers, they all came to be baptized of John. And when they were all baptized, there came one other. And the Lord had spoken to John and said, on whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending as a dove and resting upon him, the same is he which shall baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so that day came when Jesus came to be baptized of John. Something witnessed already in his heart. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee. He was certain about what he believed. And then he baptized Jesus. And there was that sign to John of the Spirit descending like a dove. The next day, according to the Gospel of John, John saw Jesus walking. And he pointed at him and told two of his disciples, one of whom was Andrew, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord together. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then John was put in prison. And in the darkness and despair of those circumstances, it began to eat at him. Did I really hear what I heard? Did I really see what I saw? I'm barely 31 years old, and I'm about to leave this world. And as I have said before, my eggs are in one basket. I want to hear it one more time. One more time. I'd like fresh confirmation of what I believe. I need a faith to die by. And so he sent to Jesus. If you read about it in the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the Bible says that Jesus hurried up there in that same hour, and he gathered in a bunch of sick folks and folks that were possessed with demons, and he healed them as a demonstration, and then told the disciples, you go back and you tell John once again that simple message that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We live in the last days of time. And this conference has been unique in that I have heard in each of the messages something that was in my own heart. In fact, I wish I had not even listened to them, lest I should be accused of copying somebody else. But I have enjoyed every message, praise the Lord, that I have heard. Everyone likes to preach something unique and complicated. Everyone likes to preach some novel thought. But it does not seem that this is the convention for novelty. It seems like God is trying to show us a fresh hallelujah. And confirm afresh in our hearts the simple truth of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I have a son that will be 21 years old tomorrow. I had a dear grandmother that passed away a little over 21 years ago. It was at my grandmother's knee, in the living room of her home, that I first heard about the message of receiving the Holy Ghost, baptism in Jesus' name. My grandmother, in turn, used to tell us how she had heard about the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost on a wash day, a Monday wash day, shortly after the death of one of her sons, when her heart was heavy. She was in the backyard in northeast Minneapolis, and as she was hanging up her clothes, she heard the neighbor lady singing a hymn. She walked over to the fence and asked the lady, "What can make you sing on wash day?" The neighbor lady said, "You come with me to a prayer meeting tonight and you'll find out." They went to a house prayer meeting in the early days of this century, and I can still hear Grandma telling it to me like it was. She said, "There seemed to be a fullness in my breast. I did not know what I was praying for. Nobody whispered in my ear what I should do. I knew that my heart was heavy and I was hungry for something real. I began to pray, and as I did, my tongue thickened in my mouth, and soon I was speaking in a language that I had never spoken before." Grandma said she was not Swedish, but she said there were some Swedish women there who understood what it was that she had said, and that she had prophesied the eventual salvation of my grandfather. It wasn't too long after that that through the teaching of Brother A.D. Urchin and others, my grandmother heard about water baptism in Jesus' name. And for years, she would take the streetcar from Northeast Minneapolis to the Midway District of the Twin Cities. Many times I rode with her to revival meetings. We would change cars coming home, sometimes at 1, sometimes at 2, sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning in downtown Minneapolis. But she had a faith to die by. She believed this truth, amen, to the very end of her life. Now we live in 1979. We must ask ourselves, is this what we want? Praise the Lord, have we found the way? Is this the truth? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's a woman, 99 years old, in St. Paul, that is lying on her deathbed tonight. She has written the missionaries for many, many years, and taught missions class at the Apostolic Bible Institute. She was the woman, as I was kneeling in prayer at Old Midway Tabernacle, and I'm not trying to just fill this with my personal history tonight, but I feel these things on my heart, that slipped up alongside of my brother and I and said, "Wouldn't you like to be baptized in Jesus' name?" That was in 1948, 31 years ago. And my brother started to slip out, and I knew that if he went, why, I would have to go also. And the two of us went down and were instructed about water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and having our sins remitted. That was the beginning of my walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's lying on her deathbed tonight. I went to see her a week ago tomorrow. She was in a coma in the morning, and her eyes were set in her head, and they said they didn't think she would live for 2 hours. I came back again in the afternoon, and she had revived somewhat. She looked at me and she said, "Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Jesus! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! A faith, thank God, to die by. We got a hold of something here tonight. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. When Jesus gave John the answer, it was not couched in great deep theological terms. He simply said, "Just go tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." Hallelujah. Oh, I thrilled the other night as Brother Sammy Stewart was preaching about those simple things of God. The glorious message of God in Christ. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Hallelujah. There are many that would tell us there's some different kind of a personage in heaven. That there's a God that was once a man that lived on this earth and begat children. All of us were his children in an anti-mortal world, as God once was. As God is, man will be as man now is God once was. That is not the way the Godhead is. There was one God who was a spirit, praise the Lord, who brought the world into existence, who came into this earth as Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'll never forget some years ago when we began to receive a paper from Ireland, quite a few years ago now, long before we'd known Brother Dallas, but where they had just discovered the one God truth. I saved every issue because it was so rich with material on the Godhead. And it was all material that we had understood and believed, but they were so thrilled with it that they printed it. They put it in their papers. It was a new discovery to them. And as I read their material, my heart thrilled over and over again. Let me tell you, it's still a wonderful thing to know that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. That's a truth you can die by. Praise the Lord. It's a thrill tonight to know that there is not salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. When Brother Luz would do that in the drama, and we'd be practicing many, many times last spring, I'd just sit in the back and I'd say, "Do it again, Luz. Just say it again. Say it again. Come on. Let's hear it again." Why? I thrilled to that lovely name of Jesus. Thank God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the glorious truth of Holy Ghost baptism. You know, the gospel is so simple. I looked at it in Acts 2. It's actually just one sentence that's put together by conjunctions. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promises unto you, to your children, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I thank God for that simple but wonderful truth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some would have to have a whole set of commentaries to explain to people how they could be saved. But not Peter. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And it was all over in about 10 seconds. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you tonight, that's a truth you can die by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, and I still believe in the rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Luke 21:36 says, "Watch therefore and pray always that ye may be able to escape all those things which shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And 1 Thessalonians tells us that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. He is coming again. The Bible says, "To them that look for Him will He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hallelujah. Brother Urshan, God bless you. I believe you're trying to help me get ready for the rapture of the church. I want to be in the rapture of the church, don't you? Thank God, I pledge my support to the leadership of this United Pentecostal Church. I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding in the quote in the paper today. It wasn't actually a misquote. And it was all right as it stood, really. But the editor of the paper chose to put down that, I don't remember, I just got a chance to glance through it, but that I did not believe that this was the only true church. Well, what we were trying to say is that we do not believe that nobody outside of the United Pentecostal Church can find God. But what I believe with all my heart is that the message of the United Pentecostal Church is the only true gospel. I believe with all my heart that every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to be born again of water and of the Spirit, or he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The way we differ with the Mormons, and I enjoyed very much Commissioner Dunn's words, they believe that the plan of salvation is Acts 2:38. But they believe they received the Holy Ghost through the laying on of the hands of the elders, and that there is no external sign, that a person just has the hands laid on him and he will feel different, and that is the witness, what he feels in his heart. But my friends, if you're here tonight and you are a member of the LDS Church or follow that teaching, if you'll search carefully in the book of Acts, you'll find that there was miraculous evidence when a person received the Holy Ghost. In the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, Cornelius did not have hands laid on him at all. But the Jews that came with Peter knew that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Hallelujah. We don't want to take anything away from you. We want you to receive something from God, and that's the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I do not speak tonight in that way to disparage in any way the LDS Church. I have great admiration for your lifestyle. I agreed wholeheartedly with the good things that Brother Urshan and Brother Kilgore had to say. We've admired your elegant buildings, and you have a proud history. We only would like to point out to you that you're still missing elegant buildings, and you have a proud history. We only would like to point out to you that you're still missing a glorious experience, and that is the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. With the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. It was not just for the apostles. It was not just for the Jews. It was not just for the early era. But it's for everyone, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Why don't you investigate it? Why don't you see if I'm telling you the truth? I've been to the Hill Cumorah and seen the Hill Cumorah pageant. I've been to Palmyra, New York, to Joseph Smith's birthplace. And I've been to Kirtland, Ohio, to take pictures of your first temple. And I drove back into the woods as far as I could. And then I walked the rest of the way to find Adam Andi Amen and to stand in the ruins of the foundation of Lyman White's home, where the prophet, quote unquote, got some revelations. I was at Far West, Missouri, to search out the stones that were laid there for your temple. I was at Independence to look at the ground where you hope to build a temple. I flew to Washington, D.C. to have the opportunity to walk through one of your temples. I have read the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Word of Wisdom. I have investigated your faith to see whether or not it is true. How about investigating mine? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go show John again. Go tell him again. Confirm it. He's got a faith that you can die by. So do we, friends. Hallelujah. Paul said in the book of Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me tell you, and I'm not trying to be a braggart, but this is the work that God is behind in these days. Praise the Lord. God is behind the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God is behind remission of sins in His name. He said the remission of His name, sins in His, should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. There was no need for further revelation of Scripture. Jude said, contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And the Apostle Paul said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let it be accursed. Hallelujah. The one gospel for all time. The one gospel for all time was simple. Thank God it was true. It's still the same today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's worship Him together. Paul said in Romans 8, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? Listen, there's no bars on any temple door that can keep you out of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If you can't get a bishop's recommend, let me tell you, you can come to the altar tonight and receive the Holy Ghost. That bars cannot keep away from you. Praise the Lord. You may not be able to have a celestial marriage sanctioned, but you can be a part of the heavenly bride. Thank God. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Praise God. That means that whoever you are and wherever you are, you can come boldly before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him, not by way of the temple. Please believe me, I am not trying to be disparaging. But if there's any place on earth tonight where God doesn't dwell, and He dwells every place, He's omnipresent, it would be in a temple. The Bible says He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, but He dwells in the temple of your body. You are the temple. We don't build the temple. Thank God we are the temple. He'll fill the temple with His Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's worship Him again. Hallelujah. Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He can justify you. Praise the Lord. He can justify you. I have spoken with some in your city that were saddened, because they felt that there were some circumstances that would make it impossible for them to get to the celestial world. Listen, the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If the Lord justifies you, thank God with the washing of water baptism. If He justifies you, there's no man on earth can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Hallelujah. I'm not singling out one select group, but we are trying to make it clear tonight that the simple gospel of Jesus Christ is for you. And there's no machinery of men, no record keeping, no genealogical research necessary for you to receive the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. And be ready, absolutely ready, to be in the highest kingdom that God has. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Thank God you can live forever in the celestial world with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, just by coming to God through Him. In fact, that's the only way you can get to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's raise our hands again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we love You. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so John said, art thou He that should come, or look we for another? And the answer came back clearly. Praise the Lord. Tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, lepers are cleansed, The dead I raised. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he that should not be offended in me. We have a gospel tonight that you can die by. I want to know, don't you, that what I tell my children is the truth. Praise God, my grandchildren. I have grandchildren. I want to know that what I tell them is the truth. Praise God. Let me say this tonight without seeming to boast. It has been my, should I say, pleasure, because it was that, my way of life, to examine many religions and denominations very closely, intimately, and in recent years, it's impossible to keep up with them. But we have heard all sorts of explanations about God and all sorts of explanations about salvation. And I can tell you with the honesty of my heart tonight that I have never found anything that even comes close to equaling what we have from the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Jehovah Witnesses may have a measure of truth. They may have a measure of truth in their disbelief in the Trinity. But oh, how they defame the Lord Jesus Christ when they make Him but the archangel. He is not an archangel. He is God in flesh. Hallelujah. The LDS Church certainly does have measure of truth. You're right about the plan of salvation. It is in Acts 2:38. But you haven't yet understood that God can really baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. When you come directly to Him, there is just nothing on earth quite like this, saints of God. Oh, I think it's good to have it reconfirmed to our hearts tonight. Don't you? To believe it afresh. Hallelujah. The things that my grandmother told me, which she heard from Brother Urshan's father and other men of God, the things that were depicted in that drama this morning, if you saw it, praise the Lord, they are still true tonight. And the world does need to hear this message. We may be upset sometimes by the direction that we may seem temporarily to be going as the boat is rocked. And we may say, how about this? Praise the Lord. But the answer comes back clearly. Hallelujah. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing on earth that comes close to that. Hallelujah. It is the truth of Almighty God. And it's a truth that we can die by. Would you stand with me tonight? Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Praise God. A man that 31 years ago wrapped his arms around me the night I received the Holy Ghost, embraced me, and taught me subsequently the word of truth. I thank him for that publicly. I'm glad somebody told me the truth, aren't you? Praise the Lord. And we do have a responsibility to tell others. The Spirit of God is here tonight. Don't leave yet, folks. Praise the Lord. We'd like you to bow your heads. We know there's things that are happening tonight, a communion service for the ministers and others. But who is there in this vast audience that would like to receive what God has for you? Where are you? Would you step out of your seat now and come here to the front? Praise the Lord. Several are coming. Somebody told me last night of a couple that was saved here in 1973 during our conference that's still walking with God. Others are coming. Praise the Lord. Let's pray tonight. Let's let the quest begin here. Praise the Lord. Who else will step out tonight in this vast audience and say, yes, I would like to receive what God has for me? Come down. Praise the Lord. From the balconies or wherever you may be, there's a glorious experience awaiting you. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll make you a temple. Hallelujah. He'll make you a temple. Who else would like to come tonight while we pray? There are others coming. Let's keep praying and believing the Lord, saints of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.